Two legends, one show.
Well, it's all a lie.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Well, Bishop James Laurinaitis with you here on a Friday edition of the program. Let's head out on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline for a visit with Mitch Sherman, covers Nebraska for The Athletic. Mitch, I'll preface this question by acknowledging that on this program, since James and I have been doing it, we have spent more time rooting for Nebraska's success than any team in the Big Ten other than the Buckeyes' success. In terms of paying attention to it, we want them to anchor the West in the worst way because we're children, me of the 90s and James of the late 90s and early 2000s, remembers how great they were. So with that as the backdrop, the question is this. Is there a path for success at Nebraska as long as they continue to be in the Big Ten Conference?
Well, good to be with you guys. Good morning. Happy Friday. I mean, there's a path for success, but success defined in the way that Ohio State defines success. No, not like that. I mean, Nebraska's there's not a path, at least a clear path for Nebraska to become a college football playoff contender on an annual basis and a team that expects to get to that level regularly. There's a path for Nebraska to be a strong program in the West Division. I think even get to a place like what you see with Wisconsin right now, where it expects to win the West Division every year. That's, you know, Nebraska's a long ways from that, and it's a step-by-step process, but you know, everything is in place in Lincoln to allow Nebraska to be that kind of a program that can be as good or better than Iowa, Minnesota, Purdue, Northwestern, and on par with Wisconsin. And I think at Wisconsin, yes, there's an expectation to be in the national conversation, but it's not a deal like you see in Columbus and around Ohio, where if the Buckeyes don't play in that Final Four every year, it's a disappointment. That is far off and probably unrealistic for just about everybody in the league, other than I'd say Ohio State.
Mitch, I'm sure Nebraska fans, you're around Scott Frost consistently, and every time I've met with him, I like Scott a lot. And when you talk to him, he gets you excited about certain players. And then those players haven't panned out. And whether it's Maurice Washington for obvious reasons, you know, I know he's very high on the young center, but there's this consistent theme over the last, you know, few years that you've met with Scott of, like, we have these young players, you know, we're almost there. Covering the program day to day, I'll put it this way. I'm getting worn out by it. Like, I'm starting to get, you know, boy who cried wolf, and you know, whether it's Manning at wide receiver, and you know, you're all excited about him, and then, well, is he going to play? You know, all these things. Has it been frustrating day to day covering it and just waiting for this kind of promised deliverance, you know, back to relevancy? Just describe what it's like covering that program day to day, because I'm trying to, like Bo said, I root hard for the Huskers because of my youth, and just I've had this dream of when they joined the conference of having Nebraska and Ohio State play all the time for the Big Ten title, and it just hasn't happened. What's it been for Scott?
Yeah, puzzling, I'd say, for sure. And you know, it gets to the point where I am skeptical when I hear him tout a signee or even a guy who's been in the program. You know, you mentioned Omar Manning, the top junior college wide receiver in the country who came to Nebraska, former TCU player, came through junior college a year ago and didn't get on the field, but for a couple of snaps in the Northwestern game last season. And there were all kinds of challenges, as we all know, last season that were abnormal, but it just hasn't happened yet. And, you know, he's there at practice. Manning is a 6'4", 225-pound wide receiver who's got an NFL frame and NFL physical skills, but has not been able to contribute. And at this point, I tell people when they ask about Manning, not surprisingly, his name gets brought up a lot from readers and fans. You know, they want to see this guy out there running around and catching passes. And I say, you know, anything, even getting him in practice would be a victory right now. So, and that's not an isolated thing. You know, last November when Luke McCaffrey took the job from Adrian Martinez, and it seemed that was okay. Here's the next guy, and Frost called him the future of the program. He started 2 weeks. Martinez retook the job, and then McCaffrey transfers to Louisville early in the offseason. So there's continued to be those kind of disappointments. Wandale Robinson is another example, just a huge, huge disappointment for Nebraska to lose the guy to Kentucky this offseason, who has been its most productive, consistent offensive player over the last two seasons. And Wandale Robinson was the one guy on the Nebraska roster outside of Martinez at times who I think really scared you as a defense, no matter who you were. When Nebraska played Ohio State in Columbus last year, the Buckeyes had to pay a ton of attention to Wandale Robinson because they knew that he was a threat whenever he got the ball, and that opened some things up for McCaffrey and some others in the offense, and that's gone now. So that's just continued to be the story, especially on the offensive side for Nebraska, the inability to develop and retain talent. And I know it's a different age in college football now with players on the move, but you don't see that kind of thing happening at the programs that are winning on a consistent level.
Okay, so two-parter then for you, Mitch. Why is it happening there? And the two guys you mentioned are the two most notable, certainly. Why is it happening there? How do you lose Wandale Robinson? How do you lose Luke McCaffrey? You get them there. How are they not program guys that are built around? I mean, Wandale Robinson transfers for 2 years is wild, and he was incredibly he was prolific for Nebraska. So that's strange. So then I point at Scott, and so that's why. And then the second part of that is when you consider all of it, is the program in better shape now than it was when Scott took over?
Yeah, to the second question, I would say yes. There is a look among the roster, a look about the team physically. If you watch them, you know, get off the bus, so to speak, it's considerably different than it was 3 years ago. So despite a lot of these losses, I mean, Nebraska still has 85 guys on scholarship. It's not like, oh my goodness, they've lost, you know, 20 some players in the last couple of years and they must be depleted. I mean, it's like Kansas. No, that's not what's going on here. I mean, they have gotten bigger on both lines of scrimmage. At the receiver position, they've really grown in size since the arrival a year and a half ago of Matt Lubick as offensive coordinator and receivers coach. He's changed the look of that position. So despite not seeing it in the win column, you know, there's a point where you have to, and that's the only thing that matters. But despite to this point not seeing it there, and Nebraska going 3-5 in 2020, there is a physical look about this team that would lead me to answer pretty definitively that second question, that yes, this program and this team is in a better place than it was in 2017 when Mike Riley was going through his final season. But as to the question about why these guys are leaving, you know, I don't think that there is one answer necessarily for that applies to all of them, or even that applies to McCaffrey and Robinson, who were the two premier players to depart here in the last couple of months. I mean, one is a quarterback, and that's just a finicky position. And if you're not the starting quarterback really at any school after a couple of years in the program, there's always going to be that possibility looming that the guy is going to leave. And I think that's what it was with McCaffrey. He, you know, had his opportunity, didn't fully take advantage of it. Nebraska went back in a different direction. His future was cloudy in Lincoln, and he wanted to go to a place where he thought he would have a chance to be the guy. So we'll see if that ends up occurring at Louisville. And with Robinson, that's clearly the most disturbing one. There had to be a place. There had to be a better way to handle that for Nebraska, to find a home for him in the offense that worked. He was shuffled around a lot over these last couple of years between running back and wide receiver. And he came to Nebraska, you know, accomplished high school running back, but he came to Nebraska to play receiver. And he felt like that was his ticket to the future, to being, a Rondale Moore type of guy. I mean, they were their friends, and there's a lot in common between those two, and Nebraska continued to need him at running back, and he was effective and he was a good player, but I don't think that he felt like that was his ticket to the next level. So again, like McCaffrey, we'll see if the grass is actually greener with Wandell going to Kentucky.
Mitch, is there a record that Scott has to get this year? Is there a number of wins?
Well, for his sanity, for the sake of the fan base not fracturing, he has to go to a bowl game. He's got to win 6 or 7 games. If you're talking about his job security and the possibility of him not being back in 2022, that's a different conversation. I don't know if there's necessarily. I mean, clearly, if he goes 2-10, that's not going to bode well for that. But realistically, they're not going to be 2-10. He's not on the hot seat necessarily. That's maybe in a normal situation where you're coming off a 3-5 season or a 3-win season, yes. But everything that's happened in the last 14-15 months, I think has put a different perspective, put this all in a different light. And Nebraska has the same kind of financial situations that every school does coming out of the pandemic, and it would take just a complete catastrophe, I think, for Nebraska to be in a spot to change coaches after the 2021 season. To get this thing on track or just start moving it in the right direction and avoid a truly painful off season a year from now. They need to play in a bowl game. That's where I draw the line. I think that's where a lot of people draw the line.
Mitch, always enjoy the conversation. Thanks for your time today.
Yeah, good to talk to you guys.
All right, that's Mitch Sherman, covers Nebraska for The Athletic. There's a lot there to digest, certainly, and a realistic approach of where that program is.